story of David and Yonatan. And there's something in the Parsha which contrasts very starkly to that Haftorah, and I want to look at both of them in order to gain a perspective that we can derive from the combination of both. Okay, so the story of Malcha Chodesh goes back to when Shaul HaMelech is still the king. Okay, and... Malcha Chodesh. Yesterday we read a unique Haftorah. We didn't read the regular one for Parshas Tolos. We read one for the day before Rosh Chodesh. And this is when David HaMelech is not quite safe from Shaul HaMelech. And before he really is on the run for the rest of the lifetime of Shaul, basically, through the end of Sefer Shmuel Beis, this is in Shmuel Aleph. So first, there's a little bit of a test to see exactly how much danger David HaMelech is in. Okay, so I'm going to read a little bit of it inside, and then ask, maybe we can put it up on the board, just to see if you notice anything unusual. So it starts out, "Vayomer lo Yonatan Malcha Chodesh, v'nimkadeta ki yipaked moshavecha." So Yonatan says to David, tomorrow is the new moon, tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh, and they used to have a Suda in Rosh Chodesh, and David HaMelech was privileged to eat at the king's table. And if you're not there, so people are going to notice. Shaul HaMelech is going to notice, right? V'shilasha teirid me'od, uvasa l'makom v'shir nesar t'sham v'yam ha'masa, v'yashavta itzal evan ha'ozo. So what should he do? Should come for 3 days. You are to go far down and come to the place where you hid on the day of the deed and remain near the marker stone. Okay, so they devise a hiding place where he's going to hang out. He's not going to attend the Rosh Chodesh Suda, and he's going to hide in the woods over here where they designate. And after the Suda, Yonatan is going to come out to the woods where David HaMelech is hiding. And I will shoot 3 arrows in that direction as if I were shooting at a target. And he had a little caddy with him, Yonatan did. And he's going to say to the boy who's attending him, possibly number one, he's going to say, go find the arrows. Okay? If he says to him, the arrows are on this side of you, then you should go and take them and return, because everything is safe, and he's determined that at the Suda with Shaul, there was no animosity towards David HaMelech. However, in Ko Omar La'elam, if this is what I say, possibility number two, what I say to the boy is, Hinei achitzim imcha v'hala leich ki shilach Hashem. If I say, no, the arrows are beyond you, it's further than where you are, then you should run away, because Hashem will have sent you away. Okay, so this is their sign. This is a little trick that they're going to figure out a way to get the message to David HaMelech, whether he's in danger or not in danger. Okay? David HaMelech is going to be hiding, like, not so far away, where he's shooting the arrows. Yonatan says, I'm going to come back right here. And when I come back, then you'll pay attention to what I say to the boy, and that will be your simon as to what you need to know. Okay? That's the first part of the story. Then, the middle of the parak goes on to actually discuss what took place at the party. And during the party, we see that Shaul HaMelech is actually a little bit upset. And he one day he's willing to tolerate it, because maybe he's tame, that's why he can't attend. There was another alibi that Yonatan and David devised, that David HaMelech had to be home in Beis Lechem with his family, and he actually told that to Shaul, and Shaul was not so impressed. Okay, and actually Shaul gets very upset at Yonatan because he feels that he's protecting David HaMelech, and that's a threat to the malchus of their family. Because ultimately David is going to take over, and he felt that Yonatan was betraying the mishpacha by protecting their competitor, so to speak. Okay, now let's fast forward to the end of the story. So on the second day, after Shaul has this outburst against David HaMelech and against Yonatan, Yonatan leaves the table angry. He didn't eat anything that day. So now the third day, right? He told David HaMelech he should hide for 3 days. The third day has come. They go out into the field with the na'ar. Vayomer lena'aro rutz mitzonas achitzim shenochi mora. He tells the boy, Yonatan tells the boy, go find the arrow that I shot. Okay, this is Pasuk Lamed Vav. Hana'ar rutz v'yora achitz l'aviro. And the boy runs, and he shot the arrow, and he makes it go far. Okay, because this is now going to be setting up the code that he's going to tell the David HaMelech. So the boy comes to the point where he thinks the arrow fell, and David HaMelech and Yonasan yells to the boy, no, it's beyond you, it's further, you have to keep running. Okay, which was of course the sign that David HaMelech should run away. Yonasan says, quick, get all the arrows, and he collects all the arrows and comes back to his master's Yonasan. But the boy didn't know anything that was going on. He didn't realize what was going on behind the scenes. Yonasan v'David yodu asadar. But Yonasan knows what he's talking about, obviously. David HaMelech is listening in the background, and they both understand what this means. So Yonasan says to the boy, gives him all the stuff, go home, take all these things to the city. Okay? So what do you think the next part of the story is supposed to be?
Not
David HaMelech going back to the city. David HaMelech is supposed to run, right? That should be like, the scene should go dark, and then next thing you see is David HaMelech, you know, running through the woods to hide in the cave, right? That's not what happens. What happens next? Yeah. But Anarba, the boy leaves, okay? The David come it's on negative, you pull up of Arsa. So David HaMelech gets up from where he's hiding, and he bows down three times, and he meets Yonasan, David gives their hug and a kiss, fond farewell, they go in peace, because they swore to each other, they took an oath in the name of Hashem, that they would always be loyal to each other, and that's the end of the story. I understand. If you had this secret code that you gave to someone, and this is how you knew whether or not you're going to run away or you're going to stay, right? So you give the secret code is to leave, and then you come out of the hiding place and come back? What's the point of the hiding place? Why don't you just come out to David HaMelech and...
Yeah,
right. What's the whole point of the code, right? This ever bother you?
It's
oh!
And then just now,
you
remind me now
that it's the answer's going, okay. Yeah. So that's a big kasha, okay? Very simple answer, which I think if you tell this to some people would be shocking, but I think it conveys a very simple message, okay? Risgrove said it's very simple. Very simple. The point of the secret code to convey this to David HaMelech was not to get the message across in secret so that no one will know, the boy won't know, the David HaMelech will be able to run in secret. That wasn't it. It was simply because by bringing the message to David HaMelech that Shaul wants to kill you, that's Lashon Hara. Okay? Is it permissible to tell Lashon Hara if it means you're going to save someone's life? 100%. But even when it's mutter to speak badly about someone, a person has to go out of his way to avoid the verbalization and the concrete actualization that occurs when things are verbalized. There's a very powerful value in Shmiras HaLashon even when things are mutter. Okay? It's unbelievable. Yeah. I'm not saying, just saying, it's not just from a halachic perspective.
No.
But the point is that we are so loose with our tongues, okay? And I'm not even talking about in general, like Shmiras HaLashon. We know Lashon Hara is a very big vetiver, and we know it causes sinas chinam, and it causes machlokas. We all get that. We've seen it happen. We've experienced it in our own lives. We've been hurt by it, and unfortunately, we've hurt other people with it as well. But even when it's mutter, the concept of protecting the kedusha of a person's mouth and their speech is so great that even when something has to be said, if there's any way to do so, to get the message across without saying it explicitly, one has the obligation, or certainly there's a tremendous maila that the tzaddikim are trying to convey to us over here, that they devise a whole trick not to protect David, that make sure the information doesn't get out, but to get the message across without having to actually say it. That's something very, 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 very powerful. Very, very powerful. Message number one, okay? Now, rewind to Parshas Toldos. It looks like we have just the opposite, okay?
Who is it that said that?
The Brisker of. Yitzhak Zev, Alevi Salvation, okay? The Velvel. In Parshas Toldos, at the end of the Parshas, the Yaakov, of course, comes to seal the brachos, and after he seals the brachos, Esav comes in. The Torah actually seems to describe that it was like almost like a revolving door. Just as Esav is going in, Yaakov is hiding behind the door and slips right out. And Zen Nechmas Vze Yosir, Rashi says. So Yaakov escapes and goes back to his mother, we assume, because that's the next time we see Yaakov is addressed by Rivka. Rivka says, okay, you got to run away. You got to go marry a woman from my hometown. But stay away from here because you're in danger. Esav is going to kill you. So what about this conversation between Yitzhak and Esav? So Yitzhak greets Esav, a little bit surprised. He doesn't know who this person is who's bringing him the food. I thought we just went through this. Esav is also a little bit surprised. And all of a sudden, Yitzhak lets out this terrible cry when he realizes that there was some switch that took place that wasn't supposed to take place, and Esav wasn't so happy. Pasuk says, "Vayomer lo Yitzhak aviv miata, vayomer ani bincha b'chorcha Esav." So at first he says, "Who are you?" And Esav says, "I'm your son, Esav." Ve'echarad Yitzhak harada gadol ad ma'od. Yitzhak is petrified. Vayomer mi evu watzot zayid ve'yaveli va'ochal mikol v'terem tovu v'arachel gamrachiyah. Who was it just brought me the food before? If I give a bracha to, he should indeed be blessed. This is what Rashi says. He confirmed the blessing. He realized that it was Yaakov who was supposed to get the bracha all the time. Kishmo Esav is divrei avi v'yitzak tzak yigdol amar admor v'yomer l'aviv brachini gam ani avi. So Esav now cries out and says, please give me a bracha as well. V'yomer ba achicha b'mirma v'yikach b'chasecha. And Yitzhak says, sorry, your brother came, he snuck in, okay, and tricked me, v'yikach b'chasecha, and he took your bracha. And then what did that do? That generates Esau's response. Achi karshmo Yaakov, I took him from Yaakov, v'yakveni zev pamayim, he tricked me two times, he took the b'chora, he took my bracha, etc. So I understand, what happened to Yitzhak over here? Yitzhak obviously realized something was wrong and Esau wasn't happy. But he has to give a whole stick of Torah over here, b'achicha b'mirva. He didn't just say, I accidentally gave the bracha to someone else. He says, your brother came, tricked us all, stole your bracha, so in case you weren't angry as it is, now you really want to kill him. Right? Where did that come from? What gave Yitzhak the right to tell Lashon Hara? Okay? And it certainly is. That Chofetz Chaim writes in the Sefer Hilchos Lashon Hara that he wrote with his name on it, that is not mutter to say Lashon Hara just because it's your kid. Okay? There's no justification for that.
You have to word it like that. Say he stole it from you,
Yeah, and even so, I don't know what. To make a blanket statement like that, it's his father to his son between I would say other rather. Sometimes it's better if you don't say what.
I would say here that he got
the
right to know.
He says the right to
know? Sorry,
why?
If somebody makes the excuse, then you have to say that.
Right. So, 100%.
I was in the dorms and I had a roommate.
So we say, okay, so if there's a practical value, 100%. If there's a practical value, if he witnessed something and he can testify about it in court, 100%, it's a mitzvah for him to come. What was going to happen? What exactly was going to happen? What was going to happen next? First of all, Esav knew what happened, okay? There was no chiddush over here. Who else was going to steal a bracha from Esav? Okay? What is the toels? What are we gaining? Put yourself not in with your system of values, okay? With all due respect, okay? What is the objective value of Yitzhak telling Esav something which, well, again, what does it cause? It makes Esav decide to kill him, okay? If there was some means of extracting, you're right, by law, what someone stole to get someone else. You should. Why didn't Esav say, oh my gosh, Esav, I feel so terrible, I don't know who was here before, but it's all my fault, and I take responsibility, and I should have been more careful. There's so many more ways to resolve this, or to comment. He did the worst possible thing. This is another thing that's surprising. That doesn't always make it okay to say Lashon Hara. Sometimes you need to even take a little bit of the responsibility on your own rather than say, listen, is there pikuach nefesh over here? What's the toelos? The answer has to be what the toelos is. Why did that make it okay to speak Lashon Hara? That's what I'm trying to say.
That's his personality.
Sorry. Okay. That's what I'm trying to say. We, in order to be objective about this, from the Shmiras Halashim perspective, with familiarity of the halachos, so it has to be understood that that's not an excuse. That's not an excuse. That's a rationalization Okay? But there's other things. My personality is to be absolutely straight, so I just can't avoid saying Lashon Hara because I say it like it is. No. I encourage you to learn the Sefer Chafetz Chaim. Let me tell you the Chatter here. There are definitely nuanced circumstances where the different consideration has to be taken into account. But I don't think you provided. So listen. So I'll give an answer. Okay? We can talk more practical halacha. My Rebbe suggested once something very, very simple and very pashut. So Ellis is always the matir. The question is always, what is the practical benefit of sharing the information, as you've already emphasized with Brandon. So it's very hard, all I'm trying to say, it's very hard to justify creating that hatred and creating that conflict where we don't know how much it would have emerged otherwise, and even if it would have emerged otherwise, so then you let it emerge otherwise. It's not for you to necessarily be the one to stir up the fire, stoke the coals. Except in this case. What happens over here when right after the brachos were stolen and Yaakov announced to run away is a major, I don't want to just call it a turning point. This is where the identity of Klal Yisrael throughout history is hatched vis-a-vis their relationship to the outside world, specifically those nations which are persecuting them and are trying to endanger them, not only physically, but also spiritually. And that is, and watch this, okay? Because now that we're talking about it, I realize this actually pertains to a Rashi living parashas Vayishlach. What does Yaakov say? Yaakov says, Tfilo Tokash Baruch Hu, after he sends the gifts, he says, please Hatzileni no miyad achi miyad Esav. He says to Hashem, please save me from my brother, from Esav. Ooh, I understand, you only have one brother. And Esav is obviously a brother. What does it mean, miyad achi miyad Esav? So he's davening to Hashem to protect him. Okay, so even the Chafetz Chaim would agree that that's permissible, okay, and advisable. What does it mean, miyad achi miyad Esav? Rashi says, if he acts like Esav and he wants to kill me, save me. If he acts like my brother and he wants to be my buddy, I need you to save me from that also. The dangers of too much being together with the nations around us and assimilation and being befriended by our that has been sometimes the scourge of Jewish history. As much as there have been physical dangers, sometimes the dangers of assimilation comes from the fact when there's too much friendship, too much camaraderie, and a little too much acceptance of the Jewish people. There always has to be a balance where we can get along with everybody, at the same time marking our boundaries. And what Yitzhak had in mind is the antidote to assimilation, unfortunately, is anti-Semitism. We dive into Hashem that doesn't express itself in a dangerous way, but at the same time it's a necessary evil to keep Klal Yisrael apart, because that's ultimately what preserves us. Because when people do not feel the anti-Semitism, and they say, you know, we should just be like them, that's where throughout history we've lost major sections of Klal Yisrael to religious observance. And what Yitzchak was doing was, with Toelis, saying that Yitzchak, as a father, it's my responsibility to make sure that Yaakov is not just safe in a physical sense, but that where this divide has now occurred between Yaakov and Esav, there is a clear demarcation of where you draw that line. And the hatred of Esav was something that had to be inspired into future generations, that even if right now we put Yaakov at risk and had to run away, that was ultimately what was going to preserve Klal Yisrael. So it was the greatest toelis that could possibly be imagined, and that's why it wasn't Lashon Hara in this case.